Panthers. There's no doubt about that with what they've done there. Good on you, Webby. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Childcare will be free or almost free for hundreds of thousands of Australian families as part of a $4 billion Labor election commitment. If the party wins the May federal election, childcare costs will be slashed for 887,000 families. Labor leader Bill Shorten says the majority of families earning up to $69,000 will get their childcare free, saving them up to $2,100 per child per year. Meantime, Prime Minister Scott Morrison campaigned in country New South Wales yesterday, promising an extra $54.7 million in drought assistance for farmers. Mr Morrison says the reason we stand by our graziers and farmers is part of the Australian way of life.
I come from the suburbs of Sydney, and I want my kids to grow up understanding what rural and regional Australia is about, because just we're one whole country, and we need to support each other, and we need to hold together, particularly when they're doing it tough.
The Prime Minister will be in Sydney today with former Prime Minister John Howard and New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian to announce a further tightening of his immigration policy. Two people have been released without charge a day after a counter-terrorism operation near an inner Melbourne Anglican church. Victorian police said they were arrested during a routine operation by counter-terrorism police in North Melbourne on Friday afternoon. Police last night said two people assisted them with inquiries and have been released. A toddler has died after he was struck by a reversing car being driven by a 16-year-old in a coastal town east of Brisbane. Police were called to a unit complex in Thornside following reports two children had been hit just after 3:30 yesterday afternoon. A 3-year-old boy was pronounced dead at the scene and another 3-year-old boy was taken to hospital with minor injuries. The car's driver, a 16-year-old boy, was taken to hospital to be treated for shock. A paraglider has been killed after taking off from a popular gliding spot south of Sydney and colliding into a cliff. Police tried to retrieve the man at the Bald Hill Lookout at Stanwell Tops yesterday afternoon, but due to poor light were unsuccessful. The effort to recover his body will continue today. Sri Lanka's police and military say 15 people have been killed following a shootout and blast in Sri Lanka as a raid took place following the suicide bombings on Easter Sunday. Explosives and ISIS uniforms were found at another location. Our correspondent Rebecca Bundon reports from Colombo in Sri Lanka.
15 people, including 6 children, were killed as there was an explosion and reports of gunfire on Friday night local time on the east coast of Sri Lanka. And what was believed to be a safe house was suspected Islamist militants. This took place as security forces are conducting raids and making arrests following the deadly attacks on churches and luxury hotels on Sunday. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the blasts and there are investigations into a local jihadist group. The country remains on high alert and Sunday mass at churches has been indefinitely suspended amid warnings from authorities on the risk of further attacks. Rebecca Bundon, Colombo, Sri Lanka.
Briefly, 17 people have been killed in an accident at a coal mine in eastern Ukraine, and heavy rains have lashed northern Mozambique in the wake of Cyclone Kenneth, as aid groups warned of possible flooding and mudslides in the days ahead. This is Air News. Milestone man Anthony Milford has helped steer Brisbane to a drought-breaking 20-96 NRL win over an injury-hit Cronulla at Suncorp Stadium. 5'8 Milford celebrated his 150th game with a first-half masterclass, setting up two of Brisbane's three opening half tries and potting a field goal. Coach Anthony Seibold says it was certainly Milford's best performance this year.
I just thought his kicking game was outstanding tonight. It made it really challenging for their back three, and we got some rewards off the back of that, and we got a lot of field position off the back of that, and he didn't go away from it.
In the earlier game, West Tigers beat the Gold Coast Titans 30-14 in Tamworth. Taylor Walker's indifferent form mirrored Adelaide's during their early season struggles, but both are right back on track after the Crows ground out a 29-point win over St Kilda. The co-captain's influence was critical with 4 goals in the 15-7-97 to 10-8-68 victory at Marvel Stadium that levelled the club's season ledger at 3 wins and 3 losses. There were also wins yesterday for Fremantle Central, GWS and Brisbane. In the A-League, Melbourne Victory have beaten the Western Sydney Wanderers 1-0. The Newcastle Jets have defeated Sydney FC 2-0 in their final game of the year. The Stormers have beaten their bitter South African rivals, the Bulls 24-23 in a Super Rugby thriller in Cape Town. The Sharks were too good for the Waratahs, beating them 23-15, and the Hurricanes took down the Chiefs 47-19. Australian Independent Radio News.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool.
Do you want more fun from your racing? Group 1 winning trainer Gary Moore offers his clients a different racing experience by putting the fun back into ownership, making you feel important and ensuring his owners are kept fully informed. If you're looking to put the fun back into your racing, or you want to see just how affordable racing can be, then contact Gary and his team on 9760 2176 or visit moreracing.com.au and have more fun racing.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just, the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App. Free from the App Store and Google Play.
This is Leroy Sané for Manchester City, who have a two-goal lead at Old Trafford.
Takiyaho has got it. And he strides away. Takiyaho. He puts a seal on the Anzac Day game.
George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. Red light says go, Raymond, and we are all go, go, go this morning, Sunday the 28th of April 2019. We have got a massive show lined up for you. How are you after... Now, am I right in saying, and this could be... I hate to misquote you, Ray Thomas. Mm-hmm. I often do it, but I hate doing it.
Can imagine.
Mostly with great inaccuracy. However, am I right in saying that yesterday was your favourite race day of the year, the Hawkesbury standalone?
Reported accurately, James.
Oh, there you go.
I love the Hawkesbury standalone. You know, it was the 14th year, Jimmy, 2006 it started, and I think Duff and I are the only two who have been to every single one.
Is that right? Yeah. I think Pete Snowden's been to every one, hasn't he?
He's had a lot of success, yeah. Great race day. I think The final figures were still being calculated, but a touch over 11,000 were there, and you wouldn't want any more because it was pretty packed and great atmosphere. And Peter Stone, another great day.
I've been out there a couple of times with you.
Oh,
fantastic. Yeah. Great day out there. Was Brian Fletcher there? Was Phil Gould there?
Phil Gould was there.
I thought he might have been.
Yeah, he came out. He had a couple of runners yesterday. Didn't do that well. But
sum up his week.
Yeah, and the Panthers, some of the Panthers players were there. I saw Nathan Cleary in the crowd, so they turned up and hoping to try and turn their fortunes around. What do you make of that whole situation?
I was just about to ask you the very same question. It's an incredible situation, isn't it? One of the most powerful figures in the game of rugby league has essentially had his power taken from him, certainly at the Penrith Panthers.
Was his position made redundant? As Gus said, and I think he's probably there's an element of truth to that.
You know, I was thinking about this, right? Mm. If you're on a contract, so Gus has got 3.5 years to run on a contract. It's been widely reported, right? If you're on a contract, then you're terminated. If you're looking for your redundancy comes when you're on a month-to-month rolling employment situation, right? You don't necessarily have a contract. You're employed, and whether it's that employment terminated, and then you get a redundancy
good
package.
Point.
Gus
but
is on a contract. He's a contractor.
I know what you're saying, but have a sporting cliche, the goalposts moved. And by that I mean there's been the dynamics have changed at Penrith. So when Gus did sign that contract, 18 months ago I think it was now, lots changed since.
I understand
and now
that.
He's when he says his position's been made redundant, I think there's an element of truth to that.
But my point is, how do you take a redundancy when you're a contractor?
Mm.
You get a payout.
Well,
that's what we're looking. That's what. Either way, it's expensive.
Either, isn't it? Yeah,
it's expensive.
Expensive for Penrith, it is. Yeah,
and it hasn't really seen a reversal in their fortunes, not dramatically.
I would argue that. I thought that was the best they've played this season on Friday night, Penrith South game. It was tremendous to watch. And
were you there?
I didn't go. I couldn't get away from work in time. But to be fair, I thought South were the better side. But the rub of the green didn't quite go the Panthers' way. But that's what happens when not playing with confidence, not playing with luck. But I thought particularly Cleary and Maloney had their best games of the season.
I called the Bulldogs-Cowboys game for a rival radio network, and it was...
I get mentioned a few times today.
There were 7,500 people in an 82,000-seat stadium.
I know it's your big bugbear. You hate that, don't you?
I don't know what it looked like on television. It must have been horrible.
I only saw the last 15, 20 minutes of that game. And
horrible. Now, I get home and I ended up watching the second half of the Panthers-Rabbitohs. Pulsating.
Packed Panthers.
Pulsating game of footy.
And it was a great game of footy. And hasn't there been some tremendous games of footy over this Anzac weekend? Starting back on Thursday with the Roosters versus the Dragons. A lot of controversy, rubber the green stuff against the Dragons. But the Roosters again showed why they're the benchmark, aren't they?
Incredible performance. 14-0 they led. Dominating the match, and then they dragged themselves back into the contest.
Really games.
Matt Dufty was really, really good, and a couple of key errors all rolled into one.
Yeah, so some ball control really let them down in the second half, but that's what happens when you're playing a team and puts you under constant pressure all the time. Latrell Mitchell at 5'8", I know Kerry was out, but he's a force to be reckoned with wherever he plays, isn't he?
You know, the stat was at halftime that he'd run for 2 metres. He's played the left centre position. He was named in six, but he played the left centre position. Lachlan Lamb came into the side. Should have put James Tedesco under the post. Somehow he ran away from him and flicked it to him. I don't know, Raymond. But anyway, they went to the right-hand side so many times and had success there with Angus Crichton.
Mm.
But he was a threat, Latrell, every time
he's such a player.
He either got the ball or got near the ball. Because if he didn't get it, it made Tedesco more dangerous.
Makes he's a magnet for defence, isn't he?
So. Undoubtedly so. Storm 13-12 over the Warriors. Dud decision.
Mm. That was stiff.
Weren't
the Warriors good?
Excellent.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
Without their great player, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
That's the best I've seen them play this season, and they really put it to the Storm. But again, those good sides find a way to win.
I know we're going all around the country, including Queensland. Cowboys supporters up there north of the border did fire a shot until the last 12 minutes.
They were disappointing.
They did not fire a shot. Bulldogs brave and tried to play a bit of footy and did.
Yeah, scored some tries, which was great. Four tries for them.
I can only imagine how Michael Maguire was and the rest of the support team out there at the West Tigers when they trailed 14-0.
Against the Titans.
Against the
Titans. Up at Scully Park in Tamworth.
One of the great grounds in regional New South Wales.
Again, you talk about a packed ground, 8,000, 8,500 at Scully Park. You can't fit any more in. What an atmosphere.
You can feel it through the television,
you can,
Raymond.
Yeah,
can't
and
you?
The Tigers were terrific. Ended up winning that game 30 points to 14, and that came off the back of their drubbing the previous week. So they were down 14-0, alarm bells ringing. They played almost faultless football the last 60 minutes.
By the way, listening audience, spotted at the opening of an envelope, also at the opening of Bankwest Stadium, Ray and Tanya Thomas.
You can't say that. How good was that? How good was it, though? How good is the stadium? It is fantastic.
Well, when there's 29,000 people in it and your team wins 51 points to 6, so I reckon Tanya would have really loved it.
And the first try, Mitchell Mose, we were in that corner. We were right on the
thing. Oh, yes, you were spotted. You were spotted right down in that corner, in a corporate area. Yeah.
Well, thanks to
Arthur. Go on, deny it.
Thanks to Arthur Stanley.
I don't care if it's thanks to.
Good friend, Arthur. It was a good way to watch. But what a great stadium. The intimate atmosphere, there was, just under 30,000 there last Sunday afternoon. It was tremendous, and I want to go to a night game there because they say the LED lighting, et cetera, is unbelievable. We went out onto the field after the game.
Oh, yeah, spotted there too.
Oh really? Oh. Well, Tanya just wanted to soak up the experience,
It was getting a few selfies, it was great, weren't you?
Having a go at me. Well, wouldn't you? You get an opportunity to do it, you want to go down and have a look at it, so it's great.
No, it was great. It was a fantastic day.
By the way, did you tamp with my car, my motor vehicle in the car park afterwards?
I may or may not have.
Thought it might have been you.
Yeah.
Actually, the great man, former producer this program,
so-called
Jerry Markham.
Great man.
Great man, Jerry Markham. I think he gave you up on Twitter. Mystery solved as to who tamped with my car. It was one James Smith. It was, Tanya, it was Jimmy,
That's the oldest trick in the book, but every time you do it, when you're lifting up the windscreen wipers, you just give a little chuckle to yourself, thinking, how will Ray and Tanya find this?
And did you put the water bottle there as
well?
Yes,
I did. That was me.
Mystery solved, Ken.
Mystery solved. So Bankwest Stadium, massive tick.
Yeah, what did you think of it? Seriously.
Oh, just superb. Mm. Just superb. There was a letter that went around that I saw a copy of that one of the members of the Parramatta Eels, the Blue and Gold Army, were actually sitting in a seat that was very tough from a sun point of view.
Oh, I think I saw that.
And you know what? There's lots of things at play there. The biggest issue is that when you're telling those people, and the point of the letter was that you kept telling us we were in this area and then we weren't. Mm. You've got to be open and you've got to be transparent with your fans. And if you say, look, if you want the same seat that you had last time, it will cost you this amount of money.
Yep.
And you understand why it's a more expensive experience, because it's a better experience.
It's fantastic.
Really, really great. So, and by the way, I did speak in hushed tones with Arthur Stanley out there, who's...
Why hushed?
Well, there was a bit of...
Good man, Arthur.
I'm not saying he's not. Mm. However, there was a bit of concern, and over the last couple of weeks...
Oh, I know where you're going.
A bit of concern about the rival radio network that they had out there. And he explained at the time...
I told you there's always two sides to the story.
He explained at the time that they were locked into that agreement.
Correct.
So my ranting and raving...
Exactly. I did warn you, there's always two sides to the story.
My ranting and raving...
Shouldn't go off half-cocks.
Was in vain. Robbie Fowler is going to coach Brisbane Roar. Now, we might watch Liverpool win the premiership this year, but next year...
Leicester's a hope of the side there.
Well, actually, later this year, he will be coaching Brisbane Roar. They lost 5-3.
Mm. I think it's a good move. There's a lot of criticism because he's obviously lacks coaching experience, but he's got that aura about him, isn't he? He's a legend in the game. He's going to bring a lot of corporate support to the game. If the club gets behind Robbie Fowler, which they will, and bring the right people in to work around him, he can just be their coaching figurehead. If he gets the right people to work alongside him, they can help him as well. He's a novice coach, I know that, but... Gee, you could bring a lot of good to the club.
Queensland fans, Brisbane listeners, are you going to get reattach yourself to the Brisbane Roar now that a legend of English Premier League club Liverpool has got a huge supporter base in this country? He's now going to be coaching them. Well, give us your thoughts on 13-53-53. They need something. Crowds have dwindled dramatically.
Well, it happens when you lose,
Totally, but very disappointing for them. So we'll take your thoughts on that, 13-53-53. Got to make mention of the local derby here from an AFL point of view. They got flogged, the Swans.
No Buddy Franklin, lack a bit of speed. The GWS are a good side. They're a better side than the Swans this season.
Undoubtedly.
Put it bluntly.
Based on what we've seen there. Mm. A decent crowd out there at the SCG. Maybe they recognised what was going to happen, but this might be the first time. I think they've missed the semi-finals once in the last 16 years, the Sydney Swans.
They're struggling a bit.
And it might happen again. So we'll take your thoughts on that too, 13:53:53.
And I know we'll talk about them at length later on with Peter Peters and Dean Richard, but a couple of important NRL games this afternoon. Jimmy Seagulls versus the Raiders at 2 o'clock, Knights versus Eels at 4 o'clock. The Manly Canberra game's interesting because, again, for our Queensland audience, the State of Origin side, we're getting close to State of Origin period. Is DCE playing himself into the captaincy role of Queensland?
What about Matt Scott?
Oh, good call.
Matt Scott has worked his way back into Origin contention. He's a senior player. He's clearly
haven't
a leader.
Seen a lot of him this season. Is he playing well enough?
Yes.
To be captain of the side?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if he's in the side, he's a captaincy candidate.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't go with DCE?
And I think that's a safer decision for Kevin Walters than it is to
I
go with DCE. And this was a point made by Scott Sattler on a rival radio network. But
were you working for that one too?
Yeah. So the point of it is, if you don't see a long-term captain, because Munster's an option, DCE's an option, if you don't see it, then maybe in the short term, yep, you can go with Matthew Scott and see what emerges over the next 12 months. See what or who emerges over the next 12 months. Because either way, Daly Cherry-Evans or Cameron Munster, and I don't know the status of their relationship, I don't know how they combine when a side plays together. They're two clearly talented players who will be in that Queensland State of Origin side, but who emerges as the leader? Well, give them 12 months to sort it out and make Matt Scott captain.
No, that's a good point. That's safer options, you said.
Yeah, obviously New South Wales will win that series comfortably, but we're just trying to help Queensland out with... Thank you. We're just... Our panel operator Hamish just trying to help Queensland out with some selection issues that they may.
And massive game Knights Eels this afternoon. It's probably the Knights' season just been on the line here.
Is it just about worried about?
Job.
Is it just worried about the Eels, how they bounce back from the 50?
So much emotion, but gee, they played well.
Look what happened to the Melbourne Storm. Look what happened to the Roosters. The Roosters were so flat in the second half, and yet they'd had 70% of possession in the first half. They should have been full of beans. It was the Dragons. So what? And what about the Storm on Thursday night as well? Did that big game the week before take it out of them?
Good point. We're at the Tigers. Get thumped 51-6 and down 14-0 and turn it all around.
But you couldn't wait to come out and play from a Tigers point
of
view because
you
got absolutely embarrassed on Easter
Monday. So an important game for both clubs there. Knights need to stand up and the Eels need to show that last week wasn't a one-off.
Yeah, absolutely. 13:53:53, the open line number. Of course, we are looking forward to the match on Thursday at ANZ Stadium. It's the Rabbitohs up against the Broncos and already there is plenty of talk about that game, plenty of newsprint about that game as well. This is what the Broncos coach Anthony Seibold had to say when quizzed about his relationship with the South Sydney players.
You were asked in the off-season, have you left that group of players in good terms? And you spoke to the effect that, yes, you believed you did leave in good terms.
It started already, Raymond.
Funnily enough, did you see Wayne Bennett interviewed on Friday night about the South Sydney game came up as well, the Broncos game came up as well?
No, I missed it. What was said?
He said, who are we playing next week? If he didn't know, he said, I'm still thinking about this game for the next 24 hours. I'll go and review this game. Won't even look at who we're playing next week. As if Wayne Bennett doesn't know that's Broncos v South Sydney Thursday night.
The master.
Love it. Love it.
The master. Which brings us to our talk topic for today.
Far away, James.
Grudge matches. Seibold v.
Grudges
Bennett.
Grudges in sport.
Okay. Grudge matches. Grudges in sport. Have you got one, Roman?
Yes.
Let me guess.
Probably the greatest ever.
Yes.
Fighter and grudge match. Grudges.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
Undoubtedly.
The great Muhammad Ali went to his grave. I don't think Joe Frazier ever forgave him for the very public insults that Muhammad Ali...
And personal.
And tirades that he poured on Joe. I know it was all part of Ali's game plans to drum up interest in the fights, etc. I dare say he didn't need to with the Ali Frazier fights because they were so massive. But his public put downs, if I use that expression, of Joe Frazier, he never forgave Muhammad Ali, did he?
No.
Never.
No. Queensland v New South Wales, that's one.
Yeah, that's
you
massive.
You could start with Mario Fenwick, Ben Elias. There's another grudge match through the 80s that was... always reached fever
point. Did they ever resolve that?
Yeah, they did.
Have they?
Okay. Yeah. And then the other one, of course, I'm going to steal one of yours. Douglas Jardine.
Oh, and Bradman?
Sir Donald Bradman. Bodyline series.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ashes, is always a big series, but that's another one. That's another one. Big show coming up. Bjorn Baker will be along to have a chat. We'll also have a chat with Pete Snowden as well after his big day there. Peter Peters is here. We'll speak to Gerard Daffy from TAB. We've got Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest news in Rugby League, a sports update from Tanya. The Event Cinema's quiz is here. A-League with Phil Moss. We'll speak to Greg Rudolph about the Hawkesbury standalone. And this is a bit of a treat for the listeners today. Brad Haddon, who is an assistant coach. Might be the fielding coach of the Australian cricket team. And they've got a massive couple of months coming up. It's a World Cup. It's an Ashes series.
I love it. Yeah.
Brad will be there at the heart of it. He's going to be in the studio too, so you might get a chance to give him a call. So write down this number. Put it in your phone. 1353 53. Grudge matches is our talk topic. We've got wingman beer. We've got China Doll passes to give away. Event cinemas. Their gold class today. It's all coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Kevin Torrey dashes away in the round wicket.
Speed.
It's Harry Angel that wins the July Cup.
Class.
Here comes the favourite astern, and the colt is letting rip with a big run.
Brilliant. You'll find them all on the Daly roster, from local heroes to world-renowned champions, proven stallions to the next big thing. See our new roster and fees at daly.com.au. Success in the ring and on the track starts with a Daly stallion, and the rest will follow.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The TAB's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horses finish. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the TAB app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. TAB, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales TAB customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Oh, nice headphones, Dad. Are they new?
Yeah, they're Urban Ears. Such good sound.
Dad.
They came free with the DAB Plus digital radio I bought Mum for Mother's Day.
Dad, you're shouting.
Hey, but I don't want her knowing I did so well out of her present.
Did you hear that, Mum?
Yes. Mum will love a DAB Plus radio. Digital sound, more than 20 extra stations. And with the Pure range, you'll get free Urban Ears wireless headphones worth $150. Worth shouting about. From JB Hi-Fi, David Jones and Good Guys until May 12th.
Do you want more fun from your racing? Group 1 winning trainer Gary Moore offers his clients a different racing experience by putting the fun back into ownership, making you feel important and ensuring his owners are kept fully informed. If you're looking to put the fun back into your racing, or you want to see just how affordable racing can be, then contact Gary and his team on 9760-2176 or visit moreracing.com.au and have more fun racing.
Hightail and Prince of Sussex in hot pursuit, though. Prince of Sussex 100 to go, and Hightail, they go together. Prince of Sussex about a half length, three quarters. Hightail, Prince of Sussex going well for Michael D. Prince of Sussex won the showdown, a length and three quarters. Hightail
on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show, James. A couple of really interesting SMSs on our talk topic already.
Yes, yes.
Got a common theme here too.
Yes.
This is from Craig from Tamworth. Morning, boys. Surely the greatest and most controversial grudge match in history are those on this very show relating to the quiz.
Mm.
Jimmy versus Ray, Tanya and everyone else in the studio. Also,
a quick shout.
No, I am, John.
A quick shout out. It's Tamworth Cup Day today. It is too. So good luck, everyone up there in Tamworth. And also, this is from EJ. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. The obvious grudge match would have to be Jimmy Smith against everyone else on the BSB weekend team in the quiz. So you've been perpetuating this, Smith, over a number of months and years now, and it's resonating with our audience, unfortunately.
They call it cliches. Another word for it is truisms. So you terrible. Take it as you... Just score update on that, Ray?
I've forgotten, actually.
I haven't. 9-7. It's a mini break.
You skipped away to a mini league.
Right.
That's a quick one for you in the race replay. Did you finally take your boys to the Royal Easter Show this year?
What, and my girl?
Oh, sorry. And little Avery as well, yeah.
No, I didn't.
You didn't go to the reserve.
It's not the reserve one. It's Sydney family show. And it's more, well, how would I describe it? Accessible?
I think Austin's old enough now to realise this is all a ruse, isn't it? But you won't take him out to home, boys?
I think he's aware of it. In saying that, there's still a couple of rides that he's not quite keen to get on just yet. So
are you a ride junkie? Or?
I like it. We were on the Sizzler.
I love all the rides.
We were on the Sizzler. Yeah, no, I did. And yes, it's probably more economical to take them there. I'll admit that.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
In saying that, if you're going to put
more
me in
economical
it,
than a nice way of saying
the Sydney
else.
Family, a big good morning to Braithen Astor, who was out there with his family.
Oh, okay.
Albeit his daughter's about one, but
well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm going to go down, I'm going down swinging. Karen McAvoy.
Oh, is he
multiple
too, is he?
Group one winning, multiple Melbourne Cup winning jockey. He's a massive tight ass as well. He was out there.
You can't say things like that.
Well, he must be.
Oh, geez. You're dropping names.
If I'm going down, I'm going down. It's everyone else.
Oh, that's the last time Karen ever bothers to join this show. You just called him a what?
Tight ass.
Yeah. Oh, dear, oh, dear. We better move on before we get ourselves in deeper trouble. Hawkesbury races yesterday, as I said, Jimmy, terrific day. The first of the big ones was the Clarendon Stakes. Promising colt this from Peter and Paul's Snowden stable. His name is Creator.
Antonio Padre easing into the clear. Chabonnet tries to keep it in the pocket. Creator, Backus run on, and then Brandenburg. Erno hit the front at the 2.25 from Jailbreak. Antonio Padre had to ease around the heels again. Creator runs on and then followed Backus at the 100 metre mark. It's Erno joined by Creator. Creator and Erno. Creator's going home a bit the better. Creator won it. Creator beat Erno. Third in Brandenburg.
I know we're going to speak to Pete very shortly, but what would be the plan going forward with Creator, mate?
I think it's a good chance to go to Scone on to Brisbane because it's okay. A good race as this colt coming up, and he's only lightly raced, only his third start, second this prep, and he's highly prominent. The Blinkers did the trick. This is a good mare. Her name is Erythea. She finally broke through at stakes level yesterday in the Hawkesbury Crown. It won't be her last big race win.
Manicure's third, Miss Q's been wide, Pecans, Multijar riding up on the rail, and then followed Aqua Divina. Erythea, a good leader towards the 200. She's 2.5 in front. Multijar gets to second, giving chase with Manicure, then Zumbalina. Erythea in front, 100 metres left to run. Multijar tries hard, but Erythea's in front, and Erythea's too good in the crown. Erythea 3/4 to Multijar, Manicure third, and
potentially a Stradbroke. Potentially.
Well, I was going to say, is it Queensland and or Scone? How does
I think
that work?
Potentially straight to Queensland. We'll talk to Bjorn very shortly, but he was saying yesterday he's thinking of giving a little bit of space between runs and targeting Brisbane with the possibility of going into the Stradbroke with a lightweight.
Okay, just looking at the Stradbroke market and looking for Erythea and
I'm tipping the boys at Tabfixed Odds have a little oversight there, because she should be in the market somewhere.
Zoustar, $4.50, Osborne Balls at $5, and then a couple on $8.50, Champagne Cuddles and Chapter Anvers.
I dare say they'll rectify that because she is a promising horse. On then to the Hawkesbury Guineas, and this was a terrific clash between two really nice three-year-olds, Military Zone and Trope.
Then come along Trope, still with plenty of margin to make up. Six off them, Awazi Rainier. Kylie's the leader at the top of the straight. Sheriff chases hard the outside. Quackerjack runs on. Military Zone, Trope to the outer. At the furlong, they've got the Kylie's. Quackerjack narrowly from Military Zone. Trope's going to have the last shot. It's Military Zone. Trope is coming with every stride. Military Zone and Trope. Military Zone. Military Zone ahead to Trope in the Guineas. 13, Quackerjack.
So Military Zone, appropriate time of the year for that horse to be winning, given the Anzac weekend, and a good ride from J-Mac. And again, we'll hear from Pete Snowden very shortly.
And again, a good advertisement for syndications, Jim. Both Erythea and Military Zone, owned by two successful syndication businesses, Derby Racing and Triple Crown.
Yes.
And weren't there a bank of owners here in the winner's circle after Bay? It was good. It was great atmosphere. On to the Hawkesbury Cup, and gee, Gwenda Markwell and Corey Brown have had some tremendous success this autumn. Obviously, the ATC Australian Derby with Angel of Truth. They kept it rolling as well with Arcademus in the Hawkesbury Cup yesterday.
Aloisi is out wider with 60s Groove, and then Allwood and Tumultuous. Arcademus in front. Tom Melbourne a length and a half away giving chase. Then 60s Groove and Tumultuous. It's Arcademus in front. Tom Melbourne tries hard. He's going to lay it down to Arcademus Lane. Arcademus clinging on, and Arcademus leads her out to win the cup. Arcademus beat Tom Melbourne. Poor Tom, second again. Third in 60s Groove, fourth New Universe.
Of course he was second again. Corey Tom. Brown, 25 years since he last won the Hawkesbury Gold Cup.
Jack Attack, way back in 1994, trained by the late great Tony Wildman, owned by John Singleton. And, of course, Corey's had a lot of success with John over the years since. And he was only a 17-year-old apprentice. I can remember the day, too.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, so way back in 1994. The Brisbane Carnival started up yesterday, and Red Zell was the big attraction, the Victory Stakes. There were no such things as certainties in racing, though.
It's I'm Ripper, the 450, narrowly from Fiery Heights, Stella Victoria. Red Zell on the outside is about to be called upon. And Winter Bride's about 2.5 lengths behind Red Zell. Out wide, Red Zell, I'm the Ripper, Stella Victoria. Winter Bride, I'm excited, weaving through from Jonker. Red Zell, the leader, I'm excited, coming through from Winter Bride. Red Zell's in front, I'm excited. Red Zell and I'm excited. I'm excited, Red Zell. I'm excited, going home the better. And I'm excited, defeats Red Zell in third, Jonker, followed by Winter Bride, Stella.
What was the price of Red Zell going into that one?
He was very, very short.
Very short. I Am Excited is the $11 hope for the Doomben 10,000. That's coming up on May 11. Nature Strip, the $3.50 favourite. Osborne Bulls there in the market again at $6. Zoo Style at $8.
And I think Red Zell was going for a spell, but we'll hear shortly from Peter Snowden about that. And good to hear the great man Glenn Munsey listening, because he's on the way. I think he's doing Tamworth today. I hope I'm right about that, Glenn. But Irithir will go into the Stratty market today. Official nominations for all Brisbane features are taken on Tuesday. The markets open now are only a speculation as to what horses may go there. Thanks, Glenn. So definitely Irithir will be in that Stradbroke market sometime this morning, Jim.
Very good. 1353 53, the open line number, just before we get to call. This doesn't happen much in the game anymore, but Sugar Ray Leonard fought Roberto Duran three times in the 80s. No mass, no mass.
Great fights when they...
He said, no more, no more. Mitch from Tamworth. And yes, I went to the footy last night, and yes, I'm going to the Tamworth Cup today.
Big weekend in Tamworth.
That's a great sporting weekend in Tamworth. Let's go to the callers, because Andrew is on the line. G'day, Andrew.
Hey, fellas.
Morning, Andrew.
I've got two for you. India versus Pakistan in cricket.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And probably a famous one that happened in Australia in the 56 Olympics, the Hungary versus Russia.
Oh, that's right. And the Hungarians came out of the pool all bleeding and all sorts.
Correct.
Of, there were some great images of that. Yeah.
The water ran red.
Red with blood, yeah. Because wasn't there a war or an invasion?
Yes, it was during the revolution in Hungary.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh, that's
right.
A good
Soviet
one, Andrew. Yeah.
Very good.
Right. And what good call. Andrew, name been written down there by James.
And look at that. There's a real international focus on it. Rather than just New South Wales v. Queensland, we've got India v. Pakistan and Russia v. Hungary. So
that's good, yeah. Broaden the horizons.
Broaden the horizons, yeah. Well done. Thank you, Andrew. We do appreciate that. 1353-53. Anthony's on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning, son. Before I give you the grudge match, with Ray Thomas, he carried the Auden Carnival with the Daily Telegraph and News Limited.
Yes.
He's got that Wednesday racing show with Richard Dreamer on obviously Wednesday night.
Yes.
He's got the sports radio show on this Sunday morning.
Yes.
And I was sitting back watching Winnie Post CNN through the week. He says, surely Ray's not going to blow up on that. And Ray bobbed up on the CNN Winnie Post show as well. Did he ever know?
Was it? I can't remember that.
CNN?
They're doing a special on Winks this month.
They did interview me for that. Yeah, that's right. Been a busy period, Anthony, but it's good fun. You wouldn't do it unless you enjoyed it, would you, mate? So.
And you get paid well for it, too,
Anthony. I didn't
Anthony,
get paid by CNN.
And my son-in-law follows St. George, so we go off to the Bankman Stadium on next Sunday.
Yes.
Is the view and the experience on the Independence Area as good as the champagne caviar bar, right?
No, it's an excellent question, Anthony.
I tell you what, Anthony, I don't think, well, it's probably, yeah, can I say it's not a bad seat in the house? I know there was one where the little wall next to the stairs impacted the view,
yes,
but
right,
seriously, yeah. It is a fantastic venue.
So we'll be right in the peasants area then? Right,
it's a very relevant question based on where Ray sits compared to where everyone else sits, Anthony. So
fair enough.
Well done. And just on that, as working on a rival radio station over the last couple of days, Scott Sattler said, so and so's got a heart like Winks.
And
I thought, gee, how quickly they forget. Yeah. Farlap? Who's Farlap?
Where's Farlap?
Good call, Anthony.
I've got a couple of obscure ones, or one or two. There's a grudge match between Roy Masters and Warren Ryan. Warren Ryan always thought he deserved more credit for the Western Suburbs form during the Fibro day. Roy was getting all the credit, and Warren Ryan thought he's one that engineered the defensive experience there, during those Fibro days.
Was he the 20? He was the 21s coach.
Yeah, he won about three premierships in a row, didn't they, or something?
Well, he certainly had the He had the last laugh in the 85 grand final.
That's right, And obviously, the obvious one was obviously Phil Rossall versus Brian Smith, and that's for sure. He just wouldn't give up until they got, he got rid of him, and apparently haven't been the same since, I believe, anyway.
Yeah. Good on you, Anthony.
Good signs last Sunday, though, Anthony. Great signs last Sunday.
Go back to today, mate. Yeah. Big game today. Big game today against the Newcastle Knights.
Exactly, yeah. Big day yesterday at Hawkesbury, and I know Bjorn Baker was quietly confident going into the Hawkesbury meeting that he'd finally win a Hawkesbury standalone feature. He did so with this really good mare, Erythea. Bjorn's on the line. He's got to get to the gym shortly, so he's good enough to come on the line bright and early for us. Bjorn, good morning. And Erythea, she deserved that big race win yesterday, Bjorn.
Morning, guys. Yeah, no, it was great to see. She's been super consistent, good bunch of owners, and... That was never in doubt. She sort of controlled the race and turned into a bit of a sprint home. It was always going to suit her.
And really never threatened. Great ride from Josh. And I, that comes down, I guess, Bjorn, to the relationship that he has with Erythea.
Yeah, he gets on really well with her. So he's ridden there a few times and he's bonding pretty well with her. So we'll try and keep him on going forward. Mm. Not always the case with trainers and jockeys, of course.
What? Oh, really? What happens?
From time to time, the odd trainer may decide they prefer another jockey.
Does it ever the jockey change thinks, oh, I need another trainer?
I'm sure there's a fair bit of that as well.
Argy-bargy going on.
I don't doubt that would have happened in my career many a time as well.
Given the fact you're in a mood this morning, Bjorn, where you might like to enlighten us and the listeners about that, are there any times in particular that you remember where you perhaps thought, right, I'm going to get myself a new jockey?
From time to time, I can't think of any specific cases at the moment, but it does happen. But often we try to get jockeys on a regular basis, and they prefer to ride other horses.
It's an interesting part of the game, James, the toing and froing between because they need each other, but they're both doing back self-interest, I always say, Bjorn, you know it's trying. This mare tries hard, doesn't she, Bjorn? And you mentioning yesterday, the obvious race to go to now would be the Dark Jewel Classic at Scone, but you were thinking also potentially of taking us straight to Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm just leaning probably towards going straight to Brisbane. She's had sort of two tough runs and, well, two runs in a couple of weeks. And ideally, I think she wouldn't be out of it having a throw at the stumps at a race like the Stradbroke. She's got that Group 3 win now, which is crucial for her pedigree and residual value. Mm. So we might go up and have a look at a race like the Glen Logan, I think, in 4 weeks. And then maybe into the Stradbroke, and then she could be fifth up into the Tats Tiara as well. So just sort of, I'm mindful they can't go for everything. So we may just give her an easy time for the next week or two.
And that's the Stradbroke market that we're talking about there with Glenn Munsey, who's now come back straight away and said that Erythea is $26 chance. Mm. Erythea is that the correct pronunciation, Erythea?
Yeah, I think she's named after Michael Head. I think he owns the majority. His three grandmothers, I think it was Iris, Rita, Michael.
That's right. Now, Glenn's just actually texted us that as well. Bjorn said Iris, Rita, and Thea, pronounced
Thea.
Erythea. Yeah. So there you go.
Correct. Yep.
There you go. So potentially to Brisbane, and with a Stradbroke, obviously she'd probably need to win a race like the Glen Logan, but if you can get it into a Stradbroke, Bjorn, she'll get a light weight, and with her on pace racing style, she'll take some running down.
Yeah, and I think she's going really well. She's never gone better. So not often you say that sort of older horses continue to improve, but even through this preparation, the start of preparation, I thought she's really coming along well. So last preparation, she sort of stepped up, and I think she may have again. She had a trip up to the Gold Coast and ran a good fourth at Magic Millions, and we gave her a break after that, and maybe it sort of helps with everything, a bit of a trip away and change of scene.
And just finally, Bjorn, Champagne Cuddles was terrific at a very high level in the TJ Smith and the All Age during the Oomph. She ran fourth in both. You'll keep her going to the Brisbane Carnival as well?
Yeah, she's going to go up to the Doomin 10,000, and her last two runs have been really good, probably without a whole heap of luck. But she's going really well, so she's... she's another one that we'll head up to Brisbane with.
And gym session 8 o'clock, Bjorn?
Beg your pardon?
The gym session starts at 8?
Yeah, gym today, yeah, 8 o'clock. Yeah, how times change since our last call, guys.
Jimmy's interested. Jimmy's very interested.
Chest or arms?
Oh, no, just overall workout. CrossFit, it could be anything, Jimmy.
There you go.
Could be anything, mate. That's what is it? The spice of life.
Ah,
could
well.
Be anything. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
At least you're having a dig. That's the
very nice,
thing.
Very nice. Good on you, Bern. Appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with that gym session and, of course, all these good horses that you've got, especially with that winter carnival coming up in Brisbane.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks,
Bjorn Baker there with his thoughts on his winner yesterday, Irithea.
There we go. Thanks for Glenn Munns.
Yeah, and good work, Munns. We do appreciate that. Hope you're not texting when you're driving. You can be very careful about that. 1353-53. Actually, not be careful about it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break and we'll be back with Pete Snowden.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Dynamic Syndications and Kieran Maher Racing invite you to join us in a high-quality yearling colt and stallion prospect. By Exceed and Excel, world champion sire of two-year-olds, our colts from Timberina, a Group 2 winner and four times Group 1 perform. She's a half-sister to Group 2 winner Media from Jewel Stakes winner Ballerina. Become part of the Dynamic Kieran Maher team in this superb colt for $12,885 a share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
My name is Ian Hamm, and I'm the chair of the Healing Foundation's Stolen Generations Reference Group. At 3 weeks of age, I was separated from my birth family, and even though they lived just 50 kilometres away, I never knew they existed. I never met my mum, and it pains me to this day. There are thousands of Aboriginal people just like me, and our stories have never been heard. These stories form the basis of Australia's first Stolen Generations resource kit for schools. To download the kit, go to healingfoundation.org.au.
Whisperer, Rachel King really riding it out. Regent Street's coming with a late rally. It's coming with a big rally. In front, Romantic Whisperer from Regent Street, who dives, just missed. Romantic Whisperer scraped in there from Regent Street.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Very shortly, Peter Snowden. Jimmy and Ray, a great grudge match I always enjoyed watching was when Western Suburbs, the Fibros, took on the Manly Silvertails. It was a no-holds-barred contest. The likes of Donnelly, Radonicus, Boyd, Randall and Riley going toe-to-toe. Great stuff. Cheers. John from Moorbank.
They were. They always thought that the Manly team ripped the heart out of the Magpies there in the late 70s, didn't they, taking all their good players off them as well. And the
Boyd, Brown, Dorahy.
Exactly. Peter Snowden has regularly had success at the Hawkesbury standalone from the days of the Daly and now is with his son, Paul Snowden. They were at it again yesterday with two feature wins from Military Zone in the Guineas and Creator in the Clarendon Stakes. Pete's on the line. Pete, good morning. And it's been a fantastic meeting for you, the Hawkesbury standalone, hasn't it? I think it's your 13th feature race winner at the meeting.
Morning, Ray. Jimmy, yeah, it has been good to us, Ray. Yesterday was a great, a good result for a lot of young horses coming up, and a lot of new owners too. That certainly had a great day experience yesterday.
It's not an accident, though, is it, Pete? You actually put a lot of focus into this, yeah. and given your history, we understand why.
Yeah, no, it's a meeting. It's always been close to us. We went there for quite a while whilst we were at Daly,
yep.
And the horse was sort of picked out to sort of. And also, it's a good springboard for Scone and also Brisbane through their carnival. So it's very nice timings, everything, and just worked it well for those horses yesterday.
On that theme, Peter, I was interested in your comments yesterday about Military Zone. He won the Gosford Guineas so impressively back in January, but you deliberately put him aside, missed the Sydney Autumn because you were talking about that timing of potentially the Scone Guineas and obviously Brisbane as well.
Yeah, well, the Sydney Carnival is just going to be, have to stretch him a bit too long to get there. And by the time he got to those major races in our carnival, he would have been a tired horse. So bit the bullet, and he's still a light, unfurnished horse yet. So there's still plenty of time with the horse before he's fully mature. And the worst thing to do is just give him too much too early. So it's a pretty easy thing to do that. And good owners, and they are very understanding of what we're trying to do and try and paint a picture. Hopefully it was going to work out for later. And so far he's come back in great order. His first up run was great to Gosford and beat some handy horse yesterday and ran very, very good time. So every time he steps out, he does something that seems to be a bit special. And hopefully this horse maybe later on.
Roman, Creator. Did well to wear down Erno, was the pronunciation. Yep. Yeah, it's a big horse too, and obviously Blinkers with a key too.
Yeah, he's a big horse. He's a very well-bred horse. He's a lovely type. Got a fantastic attitude. Very laid back. And you're right, he's going to get a lot further. I think probably 1600 probably is going to be his right trip. Blinkers made him a bit sharp. I probably didn't really need to put them on him, but I did say Saturday morning that it's coming. The carnival we're going to Brisbane is getting very close, and you need to be showing you something that you're worthy of going up there. So the Blinkers came focused up, and he jumped better, he raced better. A little bit unfortunate. James had a plan to go forward, thinking there was going to be good speed there. He had the intent to go forward, and he changed his mind mid-race, which put him on the back foot a bit. But he sustained a long run. When you watch the replay, he took off about nearly the 700-metre mark. He made a long, sustained run around them and was good late and beat a handy horse in doing so. So he did a good job.
Mm. How about James' quote after the race, Pete? He felt your hands around his neck. That's what the good jockeys do, don't they? They do back themselves in certain situations.
Well, I haven't lost my touch then. They normally say that when I start to squeeze my fist.
Hey, Pete, will both these horses go to Scone? Is there a race for Creator at Scone, or is he a horse who you send straight to Brisbane?
Yeah, I think the size in Brisbane is the race I'm looking for for him. I think 7 furlongs up there will really suit him. And just give him a few weeks between runs, which is probably suits the horse too. He's still a little bit immature, a little bit weak behind the saddle. Mm-hmm. So we just space him sparingly and race him sparingly. We're going to have a lovely horse in the spring. But he's definitely a horse to follow. He's definitely got good quality about him.
We just heard the race replay for Red Zell. What did you make of Red Zell's run yesterday?
Oh, disappointing for sure. Just everything about that race, just you would have thought he was just had a class on them, and it clearly shows that something's not quite right with him. So, look, he won't be going on to 10,000. He'll be coming home this morning. Going to go all over the horse top to bottom and see if he can't find something. Paul did alert to a hamstring problem yesterday after the race. He's quite stiff and sore on one side, so we'll investigate that. This morning he seems okay. Bit of a sort of palpate. There could be something brewing there, but we'll go all over the horse top to bottom, but he won't run again his preparation. He'll definitely go out, but we'll go over him the fine tooth comb just to see what is wrong with him.
Peter, I know it probably sounds ridiculous, but in a sense that might give you some solace, I suppose, that there might be an issue with Red Zell, because it did look like a race he could win pretty easily yesterday. So if he's come out with hopefully just a minor issue, at least it gives a valid excuse for his loss.
Oh, that's absolutely right. There's nothing worse than getting a horse that runs below par and can't find nothing wrong with him. That's always makes trainers go bald. But if there is a problem, that's great, because we can always fix them.
Yep.
And we're hoping you're always getting back for a later time, maybe. But definitely, that's the end of the preparation this time, man.
Pete. Matt King sent the email out during the course of the week. Saw Steve Newton, part owner.
Oh, geez.
He's very excited. In fact, Joel Kane on Wednesday as well. Talk of the town down there in the Shire about the return of King's Trust.
Hey, Pete, there's no pressure here. Seriously, mate.
Can you give us a little update, please?
Oh, mate, he's flying.
Jimmy just leapt in the air here, Pete.
You know, it's hard managing expectations at the best of times, but I tell you
hard
what,
managing you, I reckon.
You're going to have a job on your hands this time around. Gee, we're bullish about the preparation coming up.
Mate, he's come back in good order. He's had a good rehab. He's recovered well, and he does look well. He looks impressive. He's got a good mindset about him now, too, which he was getting very cold before. So gilding him was probably something we had to do at some stage. And now he's come back a sound horse now, and he's a healthy, fit horse, and you get a smiley face as big as yours.
You should see it here. Lucky you've got a good mindset, Pete, because he's going to be hard to manage. He might need gelding down the track, I don't know.
Too late.
Pete, look, congratulations again yesterday. Hopefully everything's okay with Red Cell going forward as well. And
yes.
Best of luck with King's Trust too, Pete, and the owners.
Pleasure, guys. Any time at all.
Thanks so much.
Good on you, Pete. Well done, Pete and Paul.
Don't put too much pressure on him.
No, you know. Yeah, I understand that. We've been very patient thus far.
Well, your patience wearing out.
No, it's not. Okay. No, it's not, because we have faith in P&P.
Good call.
So they do. Santa Ana Lane, $4.50 for the Everest.
He runs tonight, Santa Ana.
Red Zell, $8. Osborne Bulls in the middle there at $6. Let's go to callers there. 13:53:53. Adrian's on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Hey guys, how are you going?
Morning, Adrian.
Adrian,
how are you? I haven't heard from you for a while, Adrian.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, look, good to talk to you guys. Look, I just want to speak about Peter Gleeson. Honestly, the Courier Mail will have to change their name to their masthead to the Courier Fail if they let him keep writing. He came out and said that the Broncos have a weak roster. Seriously. I mean, the guy, he got found out. Apparently, when he picked his top eight, he had the Broncos running third. So I don't know what he's on about, but to say they've got a weak roster, they got one of the best rosters in the comp. Their fans is weak. What's Canterbury? I mean, Speedy, the guy's a joke.
Yeah. Adrian, I won't defend Gleeso because he's actually a colleague of mine, and he's a very, very good journo. Maybe he was a passionate Broncos supporter, upset about their form. I wonder if he thinks the same after last night when they were so good.
Mate, but it's just, I don't know what planet he's on. It's just ridiculous because they've got some of the best. They've got a fantastic back line in many cases, but and if their halves, you know, obviously they fired last night. And another thing, and their forwards are terrific. I reckon there's a chance that the Broncos could provide three players for the New South Wales forward pack. And I'm talking about Payne Haas as well, mate. Mm. Even though he's a rookie, the game these days, Jimmy, it's about athleticism. Him, Pengai Jr., Matt Lodge, if I'm Brad Fittler, I'm seriously considering putting all three into their forward pack.
Thank you, Adrian. Appreciate the call. Actually, don't disagree with you about that. Matt Lodge was excellent last night. I was talking during the week. The Roosters and the Melbourne Storm took up nearly 50% of the market of the premiership winner. So you could have had $1.90 each of two. The Roosters or Melbourne win the comp. 14 other teams win the comp, right? One of the 14 other teams win the comp. And of those ones, Brisbane. They're now into $15 after that win last night, but they provided a fair bit of value, I reckon. Thank you, Adrian. Good to have you back. Moonlighting on another radio station, from what I understand.
Was he? Like you. You're getting paid, though.
Yes. Well, not to say that we don't know whether Adrian was getting paid or not. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales.
Morning, boys. Well, the fun continues this weekend in Tamworth with the running of the Tamworth Cup. We also have racing at Goulburn, and we'll look at the Sunshine Coast. Starting with Tamworth, the weather is fine, the track are good for the rail is true, penetrometer 4.83, and there are 27 scratchings. Race 1, take out 6, What's the Fuss? 13, My Shiromi, 16, Boza Is, and 18, Miss Jublio 7. 6, 13, 16, and 18. Race 2, take out 1, Moratai, 2, Stealthy, 5, Kalahari, 10, Flirt Dur, and 13, Our Epi, 1, 2, 5, 10, and 13. To race 3, number 8, Gaffer, 10, Mystic Splendor, 12, Brooklyn Beach, and 14, Penny's Bonitus, 8, 10, 12, and 14. Race 4, take out 1, Fair Lighting, number 1. Out of the 5th, number 2, Mysticism, number 2. Race 6, number 4, Akeed, 7, So Shy, and 12, Nashian, 4, 7, and 12. Race 7, number 4, Curdled, 7, Miss Redoble, 13, Elmo, and 18, Atalie, 4, 7, 13, and 18. And race 8, take out 2, Bullseye Score, 5, Road to Sundown, 9, Bergdorf, 10, General Soho, and 14, Mock Song. 2, 5, 9, 10, and 14 out of race 8 at Tamworth. To Goulburn, the weather is fine, the track are good for the rail true, penetrometer 4.8 and 7 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, No No Nanette, number 3. Race 2, number 3, Regal Toff, number 3. The third race is Clear. Race 4, number 1, Magic Search, number 1. Race 5 is Clear. Race 6, take out 5, Cyclone Charlie, and 11, Max Bucks, 5 and 11 from race 6. And race 7, number 4, Redditty, and 12, I Will, 4 and 12 out of race 7 at Goulburn. And the Sunshine Coast, the weather is fine. The track is soft, 7. The rail is out 4 metres the entire course. Penetrometer 6.72. And we have 52 scratchings, boys. So we'll do numbers only.
Numbers only,
exactly.
Indeedy. Race 1 is clear. Get rid of that one. Race 2, take out 1, 3, 9, 10, 12, 16, 17, and 20. 1, 3, 9, 10, 12, 16, 17, and 20. Race 3, number 10, take out 10. Out of race 4, number 11, number 11. Race 5, number 2 and 7, numbers 2 and 7 out of the 5th. Race 6, numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 13, 15, 18, 19, and 21. 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 13, 15, 18, 19, 21. Race 7, number 1, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 15, and 17. 1, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 15, and 17. Race 8, take out 1, 4, 6, 9, and 11. 1, 4, 6, 9, and 11. Race 9, 3, 6, 7, 9, 10, 13, 14, 18, and 19. 3, 6, 7, 9, 10, 13, 14, 18, and 19. And the last race, 10, take out 1, 3, 9, 10, 13, and 19. 1, 3, 9, 10, 13, and 19 from race 10 at the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, yes, 10.
Well,
great
done.
Job. Great
How
job.
About that?
Hey, great job. Some tips today. Tamworth Cup Day, a showcase, meaning race 4, number 6, Nothing Too Hard. Very keen on race 6, number 2, Burning Crown. Good horse, the Sue Grills stable. And in the Tamworth Cup, James, race 7, number 10, Unbiased for Cody Morgan, will be very hard to beat. And one tip at Goulburn this afternoon, in race 6, number 2, Chamfer Each Way for Noel Mayfield-Smith. We'll run a good race.
There you go. Thank you, Raymond. We'll put those out on social media as well. 1353 53. That is the open line number. We will take our break for the news today. Up next hour, Peter Peters, Jared Daffy from tab.com.au, and of course in the studio, Brad Haddon, the fielding coach of the Australian cricket side.
Sarah Womby. Labor leader Bill Shorten is promising free or almost free childcare for low-income families as part of a $4 billion Labor election commitment. Most families earning up to $69,000 will get free childcare under a Labor government, saving up to $2,100 per child every year. Mr. Shorten, who is in Melbourne today, says every single family in Australia earning up to $174,000 will get cheaper childcare with Labor. Shadow Minister for Early Childhood Education Amanda Rishworth has told Macquarie they're also asking the consumer watchdog to ensure increases seen under the current government aren't repeated.
We're also tasking the ACCC with a new role of investigating excessive fee increases to make sure that cost of living pressures are monitored on an ongoing basis when it comes to childcare.
Meantime, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is in Sydney today talking about immigration. The coalition is promising to freeze refugee intake numbers at the current rate of 18,750 a year for the next 3 years if the party wins the election. Mr. Morrison says capping and freezing immigration growth is a good thing, so the government's record $100 billion congestion-busting program for roads and rail can catch up and take the pressure off our cities. A man has died after his van collided with the rear of a truck and burst into flames along a South Australian freeway. The driver was a 23-year-old man who died at the scene yesterday along the southeastern freeway near Murray Bridge. The truck driver was not physically injured. A petrol station worker has been praised for taking action after a car caught fire near Bowser's in northwest Sydney. The sports car was destroyed and the McGrath Hill service station was badly damaged in last night's blaze, but no one was hurt. Firefighters were called to the petrol station at the intersection of Windsor and Pitt Town Roads just before 7 last night and were able to contain the blaze to the car and overhead awning before it could spread. Also in news, a 3-year-old boy has died and another is in hospital with minor injuries after they were hit by a 16-year-old learner driver in Brisbane. And the Heart Foundation's new statistics show that more than two-thirds of Australian adults are at risk of heart disease. Militants linked to the Easter suicide bombings opened fire and set off explosives during a raid by Sri Lankan security forces on a house in the country's east. Reporter Elizabeth Warren.
Special forces first raided a warehouse and discovered a huge cache of bomb-making equipment. They also found an ISIS flag, and police believe this is where the Easter Sunday bombers may have made the video pledging allegiance to the Islamic State. A second raid turned into a shootout with suspected extremists. The military says they detonated 3 bombs inside a house. Pictures show survivors being treated at the scene, but officials say 15 people are dead, including 3 women and 6 children, presumed to be family members of the extremists.
And in the US, 4 people are in hospital after a shooting at a synagogue outside San Diego. Police say a man has been detained and patrols at places of worship in the area have been stepped up as a precaution. This is Air News. Dominic Thiem has knocked favourite and 11 times champion Rafael Nadal out of the Barcelona Open with a stunning 6-4, 6-4 victory in their semi-final. The Austrian will meet 23-year-old Daniel Medvedev in the final after the Russian also pulled off a surprise by edging out 4th seed Kei Nishikori 6-4, 3-6, 7-5. World number 1 Naomi Osaka has pulled out of the semi-finals of the Stuttgart Open after failing to recover from an abdominal injury she suffered in her quarter-final match. In the NRL, Brisbane have ended a 4-game losing streak with a 29-6 win over Cronulla. West Tigers came from 14 points down to beat the Gold Coast 30-14. GWS have recorded a 41-point win over Sydney in the AFL Derby at the SCG. Fremantle defeated the Bulldogs by 19 points. Adelaide are in the top 8 after a 29-point win over St Kilda. And Brisbane beat the Gold Coast by 49 points. The New South Wales Waratahs have blown a big chance to claim the Australian Conference lead with a costly Super Rugby 23-15 loss to the Sharks in Sydney. In the other games, there were wins for the Stormers and Hurricanes. Newcastle and Melbourne Victory were the winners in yesterday's A-League. And the Melbourne Vixens have made a flying start to the 2019 Super Netball season with a 73-61 win over Queensland Firebirds. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
You loved it, they extended it. Enjoy Oz Design Furniture's extended 25% off sale on selected furniture. Ends tomorrow. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au. T's and C's apply. In Concord, Gibb Street is closed in both directions between Flavelle and Broughton Streets due to an earlier accident. We've got diversions in place there. In Barara, lights are flashing on the Pacific Highway at Barara Waters Road. And in Haymarket, Hay Street is closed between George and Sussex Streets for light rail. Get caught without a seatbelt or motorcycle helmet this holiday period and you'll face double the points. With double demerits in force until midnight, Sunday the 28th of April, you can stop it or cop it. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool.
Hey guys, look, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm leaving the flat. You're like family to me, and if I could stay here longer, believe me, I would, man. I know it's sudden, but I cannot miss my bus.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio?
Download Radio app on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio app, free from the App Store and Google Play.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
On the Big Sports Breakfast.
Firstly, we'll start with Sydney. Sunny day, heading for a top temperature of 23. In Melbourne, a possible shower, top of 17. Brisbane, beautiful day, top of 27 degrees in Brisbane. How about Perth, James? Mostly sunny and 30 degrees in Perth. A bit cooler in Adelaide, sunny day 19. Canberra, sunny and 21. Hobart, pretty cool, mostly sunny day just 16. And as it always is in Darwin, sunny and 33.
Bateman, oh, he bumps off Milford, and Ray Lewis going to get another one within 90 seconds. He shouldn't have got that pass away there in traffic.
Milford, first man play off of him, Yowie. Did Kennedy hold him up? No, he couldn't. He was too strong. Joe, off of him, Yowie makes a try number three for the Broncos.
Here's Farrah, Brooks, or Madison, the juggle. Madison!
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, big hour coming up. Zorba very shortly. Jared Daffy from tab.com.au. And then in the studio, a bit of a treat for the listeners. We might even open up the calls too. 13:53:53. Brad Haddon, the Australian fielding coach, and of course the former wicketkeeper batsman, is going to be here. And of course, remember, just in... four short years ago, he was playing for Australia. That's in right. That World Cup final down there at the MCG, a massive win against a New Zealand side that had beaten them earlier in the tournament.
When both teams scored very few runs in, but that it was really exciting.
Eden Park, yeah. I think it was. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That was terrific. Hey, Jimmy, just a quick update. I'm trying to get an update for our listeners. A terrible fall at the Tomingley picnics yesterday. Three jockeys were hurt, Michael Hackett, Ricky Hewitt and Michael Gray. Most concern about Michael Hackett. He was airlifted from the track to Sydney, still unconscious after the incident. So our thoughts and prayers are with him. I'll try and get an update from the stewards. Ricky Blewett has a number of fractures, but he'll be okay long term. Michael Gray also will be okay, but our thoughts and prayers with all three, particularly with Michael Hackett, and I'll try and get an update as soon as I can from the stewards, Jim.
Brave, brave people, our jockeys. 13:53:53, the open line number. We're looking for our grudge matches today on the back of Seabowl versus Bennett, Rabbitohs versus Broncos on Thursday night. Morning, boys. The grudge match for me was Jimmy Connors v John McEnroe. Then it became John McEnroe v anyone in the umpire's chair, which was even more enjoyable. Cheers. Manly Man Al.
And a good one from Steve.
Yep.
Chief Paul Harrigan and Spud Mark Carroll. Remember them? They were fantastic.
Outstanding battles. First question now for the China Doll quiz, long-time listener quiz. Where was, do not call now, get the third question, then call, $150 voucher, courtesy of chinadoll.com.au. Where was Bjorn Baker headed this morning? Where was Bjorn Baker headed this morning? Well, it's been a great weekend of rugby league thus far. A lot of moving tributes. From an Anzac point of view, we've got a couple of games to finish off round seven, and then, of course, we're straight into round eight on Thursday with a big one, Broncos up against the Rabbitohs, the man who was across it all. And I reckon he might have had a feud or two in his time in the game, is Peter Peters. He joins us on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning,
what
Pete.
What a great day, and what a great week it's been in our game.
Well, I reckon your biggest feud probably would have been that, was it the 73 grand final, Zorb, Manly and Cronulla?
Yeah, well, it was on for young and old. Wouldn't be allowed to happen today at the old Sydney Cricket Ground. Gee, it was interesting this week. Just on that biggest feud, I've never gone past Spud versus Chief. I mean, you don't have to mention anything else. I mean, they rocked grounds whenever they played. You knew it was going to be collision plus.
Yes.
They welcomed it. They goaded each other. Two amazing big men, and they can laugh about it today, which I think is fantastic. Two great guys.
Yeah, and they had the right attitude too, didn't they? Like, what happened on the field, stayed out there, and they were good mates from a representative point of view. But, yeah. Now, what about this Broncos performance last night? Have they broken the shackles, in your opinion, Zorb?
No, definitely not. I think, it was interesting, wasn't it? Not even Ronaldo could help the Sharks. That poor kid had a nightmare debut in the NRL last night, brought into the side at the last minute. It must have been terrifying for him. And the kicks up from Anthony Milford, he was given all the time in the world to do what he liked with his kicking down that Sharks' right-hand side. And the young fullback playing his second game, Will Kennedy, he didn't offer much support either. That was a game they were never going to win last night. And I'm not that impressed. They led 21-0 at half time, but second half against the Sharks side, when you look who they had out, Nakora, Wade Graham, Aaron Woods, Matt Moylan, and then Dugan and Johnson, six of their star players out, and they won the second half 8-6. So I know they're in a footy game on Thursday night, and it's a much-awaited grudge match against Wayne Bennett, South Sydney. The old coach is not saying much. Mm. Even said, who are we playing next week to the media last night when they brought it up. Cronulla were terrible, and they continue to lose star players, as I said. But Seibold knows better than most that he's got some problems around that dummy half area. Notice last night he took McCulloch off and he put in Katoni Stagg, a centre winger, in that position to try and get some spark there. He's been spoilt, Seibold, by Damien Cook. He knows it. It's going to be a terrific game of football. I don't think we're going to see Milford and Nick Arima with the same room to move when they're up against South Sydney. And they've got Sam Burgess running at them, coming out of the line, putting shots on. Can't wait for Thursday night.
It's going to be a great game because Rabbitohs go in tremendous form. That 22-18 win over Penrith at Panthers Stadium on Friday. Terrific game of football, Zorb.
It was a great game of football, and it's also given me an idea that I think that this Panthers side, they're not dead and buried in this comp yet. I think now that Gus is on his way out, he'll be gone shortly. It just lets the players know they have one boss, and that boss now is their coach, and they don't have to serve two masters. They can go to their coach knowing that he's going to make the decisions. I think it's going to be much better, and I think the next five games will decide if Penrith make the finals in 2019. I'm going to back them in. I think they've got an outstanding side. It's taken a quarter of a season for Ivan Cleary to settle on his top side, and he's got it right now with a rookie hooker, Wade Egan.
I think he's
the answer. And the fullback, young Caleb Aitkins, I thought he was very good. He provided some much-needed spark at the ruck and at the back. There were signs in the 22-18 loss to Souths on Friday that Penrith can still make a noise in this competition. They play Canberra in Wagga.
Yes.
They play the West Tigers away. They play the Warriors. They play Parramatta. They play the Sea Eagles. Big, strong backs. I like the look of their back line now with the wingers settled, with Maloney and Cleary. Blake and Watini, Zalesniak in the centres, and a big pack of forwards on that right hand, that left hand attacking side with Kickow, the right edge, I think they're going to create a lot of problems.
Billy Kickow, what a player. He ran over the top of Sam Burgess. He ran over the top of Sam Burgess. I think Michael Maguire will be very interested to see the performances of Dallin Watini, Zalesniak in that right centre position from a New Zealand point of view as well. What did you make of Bankwest Stadium, Zorb, on Monday?
Loved it. And I think what it's done, we saw it on Monday and we all just marvelled at how much the sporting landscape has changed. It was a rip-roaring success, perfect view, perfect surface and a good crowd. Not so at the SCG. We're playing on Anzac Day. To me, is now, and I love that ground, I've loved it since I was a kid. I dreamed of being a member there and couldn't wait to join it. But it's now a ground purely for cricket and for Aussie rules, I think. The surface is not acceptable. The view is not acceptable anymore. 38,500 saw a good contest between the Dragons and the Roosters, highlighted by a Matt Duffy ripper of a try. But I was left thinking, I wish this was at the new ground. Although 51-6 on Monday, it was a great comeback, I thought, by the West Tigers, and great coaching by Michael Maguire to get them to bounce back like they did. And they were down 14-0 and then won the game 30-14 last night in Tamworth. But give me Bankwest Stadium now. There's many games we can play there as possible.
I agree with that. Wasn't the SCG the scene of one of your feuds with the legendary coach Jack Gibson? I've seen vision of him throwing. Was he refused to answer your questions, or he wanted you out of the dressing room? What was going on there, Zor?
Yeah, well, I went into the dressing room. I was working for Channel 9, and I'd written a story during the week for the Sydney Sun that I felt that he wasn't picking their best side, and Jack didn't like any criticism for any sort. And I walked into the dressing room, told the cameraman to put the cameras on, walked up to him and asked him a few questions, and he refused to answer them. Was pretty derogatory, actually, in what he said. And I kept the camera rolling, and I just then said to him, Jack, you might be a great coach, but when that red light's on top of the camera means it's on. But by the time I got back to Channel 9, he'd rung the one and only Kerry Packer, and the story didn't get to air. But, we had a battle.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good one. Hey, so just back to the SCG. What I did think was a highlight on Anzac Day was the Anzac Day ceremony before the game, and that's been the same right throughout this weekend with the NRL Anzac Day round. I think the NRL done a great job with it.
Ray, I couldn't agree with you more. 100%. I'm proud of the way our game has respected the honour and of Anzac Day and what it means to us and to our New Zealand brothers. I've loved it. I've watched every one of the pre-game ceremonies. I love how the Kiwi players are proudly singing their national anthem, and I love their anthem. I think it's been great. It's been seriously uplifting. And I think those serving overseas for our country right now would have been moved as it was beamed in, and they all love watching their sport wherever they might be on duty around the world. I think it's been fantastic, and I applaud the NRL for the way in which they've supported it. It's been fantastic.
I did note at the Bulldogs v Cowboys game that the New Zealand national anthem did not contain the Maori component of the anthem, and that was a disappointment. I've got to say that.
Yeah, I love that part of it.
Absolutely.
How they respect and honour the Maoris in New Zealand and the part they've played in their great country. Love the Kiwis.
Zorb, just prior to this round, if you looked at the markets, about 50% of the market at tab.com.au suggested that it was either the Roosters or the Melbourne Storm to win the comp versus the 14 other teams. Do you see anyone out of those 14 other teams that can seriously challenge the Roosters and or the Storm?
Well, on the three joint leaders at the moment, and they could be joined by Canberra if Canberra beat Manly today at Lotto Land. Of the three joint leaders as they sit today, I think the Melbourne Storm look most vulnerable. In fact, I don't think they can beat their co-leaders, Souths, or the Roosters, and I'm not sure whether they can beat some of the other sides. They were terrible in a lucky 13-12 win over an in-trust cup standard Warriors on Friday. No Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, no Blake Green or Solomon Carter, and the Storm still struggled. I thought they got a very lucky late penalty in the 77th minute, which allowed them to level it up, and then a field goal off the post by Brody Cross got them home. But it doesn't mask how poorly they're going. They are not the side they were. They know it, and they're going to struggle, I reckon. This is the year that they will not be in the grand final. This is the year where the great coaching of their coach Craig Bellamy won't be enough to get them through. They're going to be lucky enough to have Cameron Smith through Origin, so they'll handle that period okay. But I don't think they can win the comp on what I've seen so far. And we've seen the core of the comp, boys.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it here first, peoples. Tomorrow, Justice Melissa Perry in the Federal Court will give her decision on Jack DeBell, and it has ramifications for the Manly Seagulls with Dylan Walker. What's Let's assume that DeBellin is allowed to play. Where does it stand with Dylan Walker?
Oh, he'll be straight on the side. Right. He's been training. The coach has said he'll bring him straight back. I don't think there's any doubt that that will happen as early as next weekend. Interesting. If you talk to the legal people around town, they're a little bit each way on this. The good judge doesn't know a lot about rugby league, but she's very much up with the law and obviously because of her position. But I'm told she's very meticulous, and that's going to be interesting. I think we might see Jack DeBellin playing.
Yes, hey, so we've been informed. How's your Zappers for this weekend, mate, or this afternoon?
Well, what about the Easter Triple Treat? How good is that?
You're flying, Zorb.
What's the start at Lotto Land today?
James, 3.5.
3.5.
No, not enough. Unfortunately, I've got to go for Canberra. They're in great form. Had Manly been at full strength with the likes of Dylan Walker, with Adam Fanua Blake, and particularly Tommy Trbojevic, it would have been the other way for me. Newcastle have got a good record against Parramatta.
Yes.
But I don't think their form is good enough. They want to get off the bottom. If they're going to do anything, they better start doing it today. Mm. A lot of pressure on their coach. Incidentally, I had to laugh this week. Jesse's much publicised Wheel of Fortune, supposed to be, a new innovation. He used it 10 years ago. Had it in 2008.
Oh, I bet he loves it. How many times has Wash My Car on there? About 8 times.
Car and other things that have been on it, which I can't talk about.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Zorb, good stuff, mate. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.
See you. There he is, Peter Peters, with all the latest on rugby league. Raiders minus -3.5, $1.90. Into the Eels, minus -2.5, $1.95. Great games. Mm. 1353-53, the April line number. We'll take a break. We've got Jared Daffy and then Brad Haddon in studio.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing? Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Coringle Stud introduces the outstanding stallion prospect Price Icon to stand his first season in 2019. Price Icon won or placed in all seven of his starts at two, including winning the listed Fern Hill and Group 1 Champagne Stakes before an emphatic victory in the BRC Derby. He's a winner of more than $2.1 million in prize money and a clone of his champion sire More Than Ready. Price Icon will stand at an introductory fee of $11,000 and all-inclusive packages are available. For details, visit coringlestud.com.
The 2019 Australian Broodmare and Weaning Sale Catalogue is out now, featuring more than 350 broodmares from many of Australia's leading breeders. Prepare for the 2019 breeding season. May 2 to 6, Riverside Stables, Sydney. Go to inglis.com.au.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is so hard. I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
The toy, using all of his bulk. And now it is Daniel DePrio who dives over for a simple try between the sticks, tied at the Sharks. And that is his sixth score this season.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Well, you passed me the ball. I was going to pass it to you.
I had to check something.
No one wanted. I've got to check something.
I did. A text come through.
Okay. Well, look,
I was hoping it was about the jockeys, but it's not.
I thought I was going to say you attend to your personal.
No. I'm trying to find out about how those jockeys are.
Administration there, right? Yes. Now, yeah, you got me on that one. Jared Daffy's from tab.com.au. He's on the line now. G'day, Jared.
Morning, boys.
Hi, Jared.
Good, right?
Hey, Jared, we've got a special guest coming up on the program very shortly, Brad Haddon.
I know.
So, mate, why don't we start off with having a look at the Cricket World Cup. Squad's announced now. Some prices there, and, of course, beyond that, the Ashes.
Well, it's only about 7 or 8 months ago that Australia couldn't beat time with a stick, and they were copying it everywhere, but it can turn, can't it? And all of a sudden, at that time, Australia touched $7 to win the World Cup, but their form against India, bit of a lack of form against England, particularly against the West Indies, and things have changed somewhat. England's still the favourites because they are the hosts there at 325, India at 4, but there's plenty of money for Australia now at 450. Then it's double figures for the rest. New Zealand, a little bit of support for them at 11, South Africa 11, Pakistan 15, and even the West Indies at 17. Then we get to the stragglers, Sri Lanka 67, Afghanistan at 81, Bangladesh 101. So the top three there dominate the market, but clearly given where we are, we're seeing plenty of money for the Aussies. And the Ashes, well, we've got one market up to win the Ashes at the moment, and I must admit, Australia's seen good odds here as well. England $1.70. We've got a drawn series there at $7, and Australia at $2.75. So in the coming weeks, there will be a lot more markets up on the Ashes, but the Poms are favourites. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Exactly. Hey, Jared, two games of NRL this afternoon.
Yeah, you just went through the prices with Sauber, and there's been a couple of moves here. Now, punters are finally waking up to Canberra, a good side. Very, very popular at 165. We've got Manly at 230. That line there, 3.5 points. And Newcastle touched 230 early in the week, and they're on the march inwards, which is quite surprising given their form and what we saw from Parramatta. But they're into 220, the Knights. Parramatta $1.70, and a line there of 2.5 points.
A couple of games today in the AFL as well, I think. The Carlton rebuild continues.
On a winning roll.
What is that? One from one?
Exactly.
Yeah, one in a row.
Jimmy, you've got to stop doing this.
I've been copying for 10 years, Jimmy. No, don't worry about it.
They're $3.10 to sustain this massive winning run. Carlton today, Hawthorn $1.40. We've got a line there of 18.5 points. The other one's interesting. West Coast have beaten Geelong 3 of the last 4, but they're friendless. They're $3.30, the current premiers. We've got Geelong $1.36 and a big, big line there of 19.5 points. So both favourites quite popular today in the AFL.
And NBA playoffs today.
An AFL premiers market. Where do the Sydney Swans feature or do they?
A fair way down. Look, you'd think they're Gonski. They are currently, I know that we've got the GWS into $7. And the Swans, 51.
Okay, NBA playoffs continue today, Jim?
Yeah, they do. We've got the decider in the Denver-San Antonio game. That's the later game. Denver $1.45, San Antonio $2.75. But before that, we've got Toronto $1.38, Philadelphia $3.10, a line there of 6.5 points. And don't forget, there's live betting on all of those NBA games. And you can actually view them on the TAB website.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, and I can't think of his name. Is it Chris Paul who does the ads for the TAB?
Bosch.
Oh, Bosch. Yeah, Chris Bosch.
Yeah, good operator.
Yeah, well, tell you what, he's a natural.
Mm. Yeah, he is. And you've only got to listen to him. Actually, 100-1, the Swans, that's just changed. They've gone out.
Struggling, the Swannies.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you get sporting people who understand betting. A little bit like yourself, Jimmy. Which does raise some concerns about their early childhood.
Well, I tell you what, it might also explain my career.
Just a quick one, Jared. Redzel out of the Doomben 10,000, like we heard from Peter Snowden this morning, won't race on. And also, this jumper, ZM from the Paddy Payne stable, won the Great Eastern. There was a huge bet of 80,000 on the Great Eastern.
Yeah, actually, it's a little bit more than
bigger
that.
Bigger bet now for him to win the Grand Annual.
Yeah, so yeah. Nature Strip's 350 to win the Doomben 10,000. That's on Saturday week. You're quite right, Redzel. He's out for this campaign. But that Grand Annual at Warrnambool next Thursday, which I will be at.
Oh, there you go.
So one customer, when the market went up on Wednesday, ZM, who's got to break all sorts of records, Ray, I think he's got 70 kilos. you've got to go back to early 1950 to find one that's carried more to win.
Wow.
20,000 at 260. So the boys made it 250. He came back, another 20,000 at 250. They made it 230. And then a couple of hours later, 60,000.
He's had 100 large.
At $2.30. So he's had 100,000 on that jumps race next week. I think there's something like 33 steeples, and it's 5,500 metres. So he's going to earn every single dollar of that. Wish him all the best.
He's a beautiful jumper, though. Have you watched him?
Yeah, he is.
Through the air.
And Paddy Payne, he's a good trainer. Mm. Good trainer.
If there's one bloke who I reckon knows how to enjoy Warrnambool, G. Daffy, top of the list.
Well, it's a dangerous place because, of course, that's where I was born and bred.
Oh. Home ground for you, Jerry.
Yeah. So I'm down there, actually. Tab have got a because it's Tab Warrnambool Cup, we seem to be sponsoring everything these days, but got a big marquee down there with some celebrities and the likes. I'm a bit surprised you're not there, Jimmy.
Stop winding me up, Jared.
You've got too much work back here, Jared.
You'll be there, right?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, Ray will be. Hey, if he wanted to be, he'd be red carpet experience for Raymond. That's the only way he rolls. Good on you, Jared. We'll speak next week.
See you later.
There he is, Jared Daffy from tab.com.au. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break now because after the break, we'll have Brad Haddon all the way up until 9 o'clock, and I reckon he'll be prepared to take his calls. I'm going to.
Your calls. Yeah, take calls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Take calls from you to answer your questions on what's coming up, Cricket World Cup and the Ashes.
Do you want more fun from your racing? Group 1 winning trainer Gary Moore offers his clients a different racing experience by putting the fun back into ownership, making you feel important and ensuring his owners are kept fully informed. If you're looking to put the fun back into your racing, or you want to see just how affordable racing can be, then contact Gary and his team on 9760-2176 or visit moreracing.com.au and have more fun racing.
It's Harry Angel that wins the July Cup.
Harry Angel, the horse that can fly. The world's top-rated sprinter in 2017. Emphatic winner of the Haydock Sprint Cup and the Group 1 July Cup. A precocious son by Europe's leading speed sire, Dark Angel. Harry Angel, the fast outcross sire we've been waiting for. Now standing at Darley in the Hunter Valley for $22,000 including GST. Start with a Darley Stallion and the rest will follow.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and order pickers to their market-leading Toyota counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Edge. Oh, he's got another one, has he, Haddon? That's a beauty. That is an absolute beauty.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Special guest in the studio today, and we're excited to have him as well. There's a massive Cricket World Cup coming up, and of course,
and
the Ashes after that as well. So welcome to the program, Brad Haddon.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure being in here.
Now, Brad, just before we get to what's coming up and what's transpired, grudge matches. Now, you were known to be a little bit chirpy behind the stumps there. Was it Grant Elliott in the Cricket World Cup final that you were having an extended chat to?
I was just really giving a helping hand on how to face Mitchell Starc after that third ball he bowled to Brendan McCullum. I'd give Grant Elliott a little bit of help there. So I don't know if it's a grudge match. We won, didn't we?
Had a win that night.
Who was more difficult to keep to, Brad, Starc or Johnson, Mitchell Johnson?
I enjoyed keeping to Mitchell Johnson the most, especially that 2013-14 series.
He was unplayable, wasn't he?
He was. And I think it was one of the series I've seen grown men have fear in their eyes walking out to bat. And Kevin Peterson, who played fast bowling quite well, even wrote it in his book that the English were quite scared going out to bat. So I enjoyed Mitch the most.
What was it? Was it Gary Balance that got hit on the helmet at the SCG? What did you say to Gary on that occasion?
Something on the lines that you know that I know that you don't want to be out here.
This isn't.
Yeah. So get out to line and it'll save you a lot of hassle.
The way I understand it, it was, look, I know, it's terrifying. Get out of here. Not so terrifying is the World Cup that's coming up. Australia have named their squad. There might have been a bit of controversy around that. It was always going to be with Smith and Warner included in that 15. The first game is on June 1 against the powerhouse that is Afghanistan. But you look at the squad first up. What's your initial thoughts on that 15 that's going for Australia?
I'm excited. If you look 12 months ago, we were looking for a 15 to take to the World Cup. So you move 12 months forward, and there's some. If you look at the players that were left out, Mitch Marsh, Peter Hamskin, we're starting to create some depth. So I'm pretty excited about what we've done. We wanted to make it hard for guys to get picked in that squad, and for class of Smith and Warner to come back in, it just puts the icing on what I think is a very competitive squad.
Brad, I know Jimmy wants to ask you about Smith and Warner's inclusion back in the team, but I wanted to ask you, can you put your finger on the turnaround in this ODI squad's form? I know we're down 2-0 going to India after a shocking summer. All of a sudden, somehow we fought back to win that series 3-2. Then went to the UAE, beat Pakistan 5-0 and played some tremendous cricket. I know it's easy to say Finch found form, etc., but what was the turnaround in your opinion?
I think it was trust. Trust in our game style, that if we play the way we've set out to play, that we'll get the results at the end. And I think the buy-in from the players, they just started to realise the style we needed to play. And it's taken a long time to get there. There's a... the way the cricket's going, with the playing the spinners in that middle over, you need to be brave. You need to be proactive in that middle part of the game to allow your hitters to earn the right at the end to hit. So I think the one thing that clicked is the guy started to believe in the style. I know we lost the first couple, but we're getting close. And
and
there was an over in the third game, I think, that turned it all around when Aaron Finch was facing little Jadhav, the little off spinner. And traditionally, he was quite hard for us, and Aaron took the game on and hit 30 off two overs there and just moved the whole game and changed the way India were approaching things. So I think it was just trust in the game plan.
Got to make mention of the elephant in the room. Warner and Smith are included in the squad. From what I understand, they attended a training camp over in the UAE. Didn't play, quite obviously, but just to reintegrate themselves back into the team, how was that? How were they received? How was their demeanour? Was it the same as it was prior to their suspensions?
Yeah, well, it was a bit awkward that we hadn't seen them for a while, just coming in. But once they'd been there a few hours, we went down the bar and had a drink and a chat with each other. Things just started to roll on from there. So it's obviously been a big 12 months for not only the Australian team, but those two as individuals. They've gone through some pretty tough times. I think the one thing, they've done everything asked of them over the last 12 months. There's been a lot of work done behind the scenes to make this process as smooth as possibly can. So I think on one side, they've served their time. And as we've seen in the IPL, they're still a class act. So they're going to come in. We've got some key behaviours around how we want the team to perform and how we want the team to be seen. So they're all over that. So it'll be good to get them back. And I know those two are... they're world-class players, and that comes with a serious competitive edge. So they'll want to show guys that they've got that standing on the world stage still.
Brad, interesting you say that, because I was going to ask you, how did that ban, in your opinion, impact Smith and Warner mentally, and also the players in the team? There were a few things said post-South Africa, particularly from the bowling group. How have they, I guess, welcomed Smith and Warner back into the side?
Yeah, I think the last 12 months, it's been a really interesting time. If you take those two players out, there's been a lot of change in Cricket Australia, not just with what happened in South Africa, but there's been change of coaching personnel, CEO. So there's been a lot of change, and it's taken time for everyone to get used to different styles of leadership. And I think now we're just starting to get the reward of what's been happening over the last 6 months. So I think the one thing we've done really, really well is over the last 6 months, there's been some tough conversations that had to happen, and no one can hide behind them. You've got to have those sometimes, and they've been had with open arms. Guys have accepted the feedback. They've had their say as well, and now it's time to move forward. They've had their time away from the game, and now it's time. The only way you really get the trust back of the Australian public is the style of cricket you play and the brand of cricket you play. So, and that's all we can really be judged on now.
You mentioned a lot of the changes that have happened within Cricket Australia. One of them, which is key for the Cricket World Cup, I thought anyway, and I know your opinion of Ricky Ponting, but he's going to be part of the coaching setup there for the World Cup. And we saw him sitting at the tennis with David Warner, and you talked about the steps that have been taken in front of the scenes and behind the scenes around that. What does Ricky Ponting bring to this coaching group?
First and foremost, he's the best leader of men I've ever been a part of.
Is that right?
Yeah. Bar none. He just had this unbelievable ability to be able to communicate with no matter whether it's you, Jimmy, Ray, me, and find a way to get the best out of him. And one thing he does also, he's one of our most, or maybe our most capped cricketer ever. He's been to 4 World Cup. He's led as a captain. He's an unbelievable player, so it's just another voice to bounce off. And for the players, it's just great to have that calibre of person around. So to have him on the coaching staff, I think it's a great tick for Cricket Australia.
You know, whether it was with Channel 10 or Channel 7, whoever he was with, he's the way he would, and I know they like to have a bit of fun with the T20, but the way he would
dissect games...
was like, and I find the same stuff with Andrew Johns with the rugby league.
You sit there
and learn stuff, which just displays how much knowledge he has around the game.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to describe it. Then it's similar to Andrew Johns. They see things that other people don't see in a game. Yeah. So they're sometimes 2 steps ahead of where the game actually is, and it can be hard for other people to understand on actually what they're talking about. So. But the one thing, Ricky, he's a great communicator, but he reads the game as well as anyone, and it's going to be great to have him on board for Cricket Australia.
Hey, Brad, some of the nuts and bolts of this team, as you mentioned, competition for spots in the 11 now is going to be so, which is a fantastic thing. Jim and I have debated a few times in recent weeks since those ODIs against India and Pakistan. Top of the order, Finch has obviously secured his spot. Does Warner go straight back in as an opener and Khawaja go first drop? What's the thinking behind the scenes at the moment?
It's a good question, because if you look at Finch and Khawaja, whether they've played in Test match cricket or One Day cricket, they've just been one of those combinations at work.
They click, don't they? They click.
They have in whatever form they play. But on the flip side to that, you don't have an ordinary player coming back. You have a class in David Warner, who's got a lot of hundreds in this form of the game. He intimidates bowlers from the start. So it'll be interesting to see how we use that balance. I think the one thing during a World Cup, and the one thing we've spoken to our team about, I know everyone wants a consistent position, but sometimes the best teams are that you can consistently play in different positions.
Flexibility.
And that can be your strength. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way we're going to have to look at it, because even if you look at the first game against Afghanistan, they've got 3 or 4 really quality spinners now. So do you leave David up the top to go extra hard, or he's also a really good player in the middle or at number 3? Mm-hmm. So it's a big decision that everyone's going to have to make. But my gut is you'd want Davey Warner open because he intimidates the opposition so much.
Ian
Chappell said as much last week. And even though you see these sort of things, and I know numbers aren't everything, but Khawaja as an opener averages 50, and he averages 25 at 3. Smith at 3 averages 52 and 35 at 4. So it makes you think.
I just think
the problem is, though, if you're the bowler and you're at the top of your mark and you're bowling at Dave Warner, all that's going through your head is, I don't want to be too full, I don't want to be too short.
And that applies
applies
to Finch as well. And if they both get going, the game's taken away from you. If you lose an early wicket, you've got Khawaja coming in first drop and then Smith at number 4. It's a good place to be, Brad.
Well, an interesting thing with that, though, with those stats, if you look at those stats, the one game changed a little bit. I know we're talking a lot about going to the UK where the ball will swing and seam, but the last 2 ICC events have been won by Pakistan and India,
who
had a lot of spin. So Steve Smith could also be a really good option to play through those middle overs, because if you break down the one-day game at the moment, a lot of wrist spinners are doing a lot of the damage in the middle overs of the game. And Steve Smith's as good as anyone in the world of getting off strike and rotating the strike there. And going back to my point before about being flexible, depends on the start you get. You could be flexible with that middle order.
Yes.
Maxwell could also come up and float when the spinners are on and move the game forward. So I think we've got a really good balance there to control the trend of the game.
Really interesting your thoughts on Pat Cummins, who has emerged now as probably the best bowler in all forms of the game. He's the poster boy for Australian cricket, isn't he? He is just a great role model, a great competitor, and what a player. He's so young, it's all ahead of him.
Yeah, the one thing I've really loved about Pat, he's had a bit of adversity in his career, and sometimes that's not a bad thing. The guys
get a lot hungrier,
and what I've liked about him at the moment is he wins big moments and matches.
Yes.
You have some really good fast bowlers around him, but when you need a wicket, partnership broken, an intimidating spell, or even a couple of times during last Ashes we won back here, he got through and got some really handy runs at the end. So the biggest compliment I can pay to him at the moment is he's recognising and winning those big moments. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's what you want from your marquee players.
Mm. You okay to take calls?
Yep.
Put you on the spot there, but 1353 53, if you'd like to ask Brad a question as well. We're all around Australia at the moment. We go everywhere except Victoria and Western Australia, don't we?
We've got listeners in Perth. Yeah.
We've got a listener.
A listener.
Is that Alfie?
No, I don't know whether it is.
Might be Marsh.
He might be listening this morning.
Might be Sean
when we told him. Oh, by the way, how'd you go? Did you have a punt yesterday? You, me and Marshy got you.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this. I did. Sean Marsh likes Willie Pike. Over in the West.
And wouldn't he?
Yeah. He had a run at Diplomat Express, so I quickly went in and put a little bit on it. And as I went to collect it later in the day, it was down a lot more. It was a $10 winner, but in my rush to get in and out of the tab, I put it as a place and not as a win. I've never bet a place in my life. So.
What a pay for a win, mate.
$10.
Oh, I know, yeah, they hurt, yeah. Just quick, I mentioned Pat Cummins earlier, and he stepped up to the mark. There was no Stark, there was no Hazelwood. Jai Richardson's shoulder, how was he in particular? Will all those, particularly Hazelwood and Richardson, be right for the Ashes?
We hope so. The interesting thing about Jai Richardson, there's two points to it, I think. One, he's young, and you can obviously heal a bit quicker when you're young. But on the flip side to that, he actually doesn't, you don't know when you're young, how much pain you can throw through. Is the confidence in his shoulder mentally, can he handle that? So it's really disappointing because
he was bowling so well, wasn't he?
Well, and those conditions over there suit him. And the package he was for a one dayer with his feeling and his little bit of power hitting at the end, and he's got that little bit about him, that white line for either when he gets out there, which I like in your quicks too.
How tall is he?
Oh, he's 6 foot.
Is he?
Yeah, he's similar build to Dale Steyn.
Oh, okay, wow. There you go. I know Hazelwood's not in the ODI squad. He's giving it every time to be fit for the Ashes. Any update on Josh?
Yeah, he's tracking exactly where we needed to. And I think he'll actually be available for selection if something happens come the World Cup too. If one of our quicks don't come up, he's on standby there. I think one thing Cricket Australia have done really well, we've got a one-day tournament mirroring the World Cup. So if anything happens, we've got guys playing cricket over in the UK getting used to the conditions.
I've been watching the highlights. Haven't watched a heap of games, but watching highlights of the IPL. Every time I see Steve Smith, he's slogging over mid-wicket.
So his go-to shot, isn't it?
Oh, mate, every shot.
I've played 15 years like that.
Yeah. Well, there's another
one. Whatever works for you, hey, Brad. Whatever works for you.
Is that a concern about the technique and what you pick up in the IPL and you... I suppose you can get away with it if you're Steve Smith at a World Cup as well.
Oh, I think one thing we've learnt with technique, if you start coaching Steve Smith the correct way to play, looking at the way Steve Smith plays, he's got a unique technique. But he's just one of those guys. I couldn't do it. I don't know if you could, Jimmy, back at Eastern Suburbs, but he can change his technique halfway through an innings to suit what the wicket's doing.
Right.
So he would just be there saying the wicket's slower on. I'm going to hit to mid-wicket this game. If it's faster the next time, I'll wait for it and hit straighter down the ground. So he's unique.
Let me assure you, no. I couldn't do it.
Double-barreled question, Brad. The Ashes squad, I read recently where it could be named as late as 2 weeks before the first test.
Mm.
And also the results over summer, and particularly with a young batsman like a Curtis Patterson and the emergence of Travis Head, where are those two players in the selectors thinking, do you think?
I think Travis Head was one of probably our find of the summer.
Yeah.
What I liked about him, he got runs in tough situations.
Yes.
He got the 100 in the last game against Sri Lanka that he so desperately wanted through the whole series. But the one thing all you want from your young players is get better and better every time they go out there. He got out a couple of interesting ways in Perth, caught at third man.
Yes.
Twice.
Yes.
But he got better and better.
He learned from that, didn't he? Yeah.
He did. So that's the one thing we like about Travis. And he's a real competitor. And the one thing also that attracts you to him, he's a winner.
Mm.
He's taken over South Australia in the 2020.
Young too.
He's young. He's got a really good cricket brain. And where he goes, he just seems to win.
Curtis Patterson, because I've got a rap on him and his technique. He got going after that. I think he got dropped when he got the 100 early doors, but he
at
got
Canberra,
going, and he
it?
Made it count. He made it count.
Yeah, and I think that comes from that hunger from being in state cricket for so long and having to do your trade there. And that's what we want. We want guys to come in and be hungry to get hundreds and make a difference, not just play for Australia, but be contributed to Australia moving forward. And Curtis was a great example, and I've had a big rap on him for a long, long time, seen him through the New South Wales ranks. But when he got there, he had that hunger that he wanted to stay, and that's good for us too, trying to create that environment where we want guys to get in there.
And he was intimidating that team room environment, didn't seem. He just fitted straight into that squad.
Yeah, he did. So, and the good thing is there's going to be a lot of questions asked in the next couple of months on who our batters are going to be, and I like competition for spots.
Four-day games. Is the Australian A side's going to be over there so that Australia... And we've seen this previously, haven't we, in Ashes series. Ray and I were just talking about it. It's 2001 since Australia has won an Ashes series in England. It seems like, oh, yeah, we always dominate the Poms. We don't.
No.
The brilliant series of 2005, obviously, but haven't had a win over there. So there is going to be pressure on them. One of the things that they've always been caught short with, maybe too much short-form cricket going into the first Test match... And these four-day games against Australia A are designed to counter that.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of preparations gone into that. We've got a lot of four-day cricket leading into the first the Ashes test. And a lot of the batsmen, for example, will be in that four-day series. So they'll get four or five games in those conditions leading into the first test, which will give us a really good standing of who we need to pick. And I think the side gets picked. Well, it does get picked after Australia play Australia A. In a game leading into the test. So I think it's a good thing. We'll know our squad out of the 15. You'll know 85% of your squad before that game anyway. It's just those last few spots.
Mm. All right, questions coming in here. If you want to give a call to Brad, do it, 1353 53. Here's another question coming in via SMS. Hads, I think James Pattinson is as good as Pat Cummins. If fit, is he a lock for the Ashes? That's Steve.
I think James Pattinson is good as fast bowler as we have in Australia.
Wow. There you go. If he can stay fit.
If he can stay fit. I was lucky enough to play a few tests with him. And the one thing he does a lot different will suit England conditions, he bowls at fuller length. And he can bowl out swing at 140 Ks. He's just had a horrible, horrible run with his back. I think he's a lock. And if he's bowling at the top of his game, he's as good as anyone in the world.
Mate, he's got that white line fever I think you talk about. When he crosses the line, you love it, don't you? What about our supposed Achilles heel in England, our batsman against the moving ball, the juke ball, etc.? What's your theory on that, Brad?
I think it's just educating the players on playing in those conditions. I think one thing that's happened in past Ashes series is we've got caught on a hop a little bit, probably not playing enough games leading in for our young batters, and by the back end of the tournament, you start getting better and better in those conditions. So we've tried to counteract that with a lot more games leading in. And we've got Graham Hick, who's going to take the Australian A team with the most of our test batters in there. So he's got as many runs as anyone in the world in the
English
UK.
Conditions,
Slow bowling stocks is interesting. You mentioned the emergence of slow bowlers in short-form cricket. Zampa is there, and he's a real competitor. But Nathan Lyon's an interesting one. He started his... state and test career, international career in short form cricket. Then he made it such an impact at long form cricket, they forgot to pick him in the short form cricket. Tell us about his journey back into this Australian side for the World Cup.
Yeah, I think the one thing we noticed in India is that how much he complimented Adam Zampa. Adam Zampa got a lot of results with wickets.
Yes.
But if you look at the game closely, it was off the back end of having Nathan Lyon at the other end. With he's got a bit of now that fear factor with the class he has and his standing in the game. That because he's done so much, teams are a little bit intimidated and a bit unsure on how to play him. So it made them go a little bit harder at Adam Zampa at the other end. So I think they really complemented each other. And don't be surprised if you see the two spinners playing together later in the World Cup.
Mm. On that theme, can you play both Marcus Stoinis and Glenn Maxwell, your two all-rounders, at the same time? Because you spoke about flexibility earlier. Both those players have got so many strings to their bow, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I think you can. I think especially with the maturity Maxie's shown over the last probably 6 months, really, with his batting, he can hold down a number five or six spot as a batsman. And I think the one thing he gives is that unpredictability in the middle overs. Is with a lot of wrist spin playing, he just moves a game forward a lot quicker than anyone. Yeah. So to have a batsman like that in your team, I think puts fear in the opposition. And if we do our job right there, Marcus Stoinis' power at the end is as strong as anyone in the world. So we've got that style right, and I do. I think they can play both together.
Mm. Got an SMS in here from Dennis Carnahan, who, of course, is a massive Canberra Raiders fan and
must be a good bloke.
The singer-songwriter from That's in Queensland, Dennis, a big listener to the program. Can you please ask Brad his thoughts on today's Manly v Raiders game?
Oh, that's an easy pick.
What about the Raiders?
Going well. How good is it? Yeah. What about the... I know you talk about your rivalry with your Ashes and thing. But I'm loving the Poms that we have at the moment. How good are they? How good
John
Bateman going?
John Bateman's a star, isn't he?
He's amazing how strong he is.
And his engine. He's got a good hood under him.
Yeah,
he keeps coming.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a really big clash down there at Lottoland. And the Raiders are putting themselves up in lights. You'll be touring again. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I've had a good time at home. It's getting more difficult to leave, especially with the age that the kids are. So, I'm just going to look at it. Look, these are two massive events on the calendar.
Yeah.
This is part of the reason I got back involved with Cricket Australia to be involved in these marquee events. And as you said before, we haven't won the Ashes series over there in nearly 20 years.
Steve Waugh's team, 01, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm not looking any further ahead just to be involved in these events and hoping that we can do Australia proud and win.
Can't wait.